Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Brother Al, I call him. You may call him Dr. Stone, Pastor Stone, whatever, but I just call him Brother Al. He's a good friend and been a good friend for many years. I'll tell you about the time I first laid eyes on him tonight to introduce him to this evening just before he preaches. But he's been a great blessing. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being willing to come to the UP and speak to our young people. And we got to pray all week long for camp and for God to greatly bless. Welcome to the Upper Peninsula. Welcome to America, home of the Stanley Cup. 29 years. Lord Stanley is now a U.S. citizen. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Oh my. Why do I come here? The abuse is unbelievable. Why do you come here? I'd like to thank the seven families who attend here. There's so many ties here, family ties here. They say that in Canada, in the UP, that a family reunion is a good way to pick up chicks. So you'll get that later. All right, you'll get that later. It's right over. You'll get it later. Hey, last night. So I was just in Calgary, Alberta, the Texas of Canada, our oil capital. You know where we were going to build a pipeline with you guys? Yeah, but you shut that down. We don't need the Stanley Cup. We got all the oil we need. Gas is only 27 cents over there. No, I'm just kidding. It's $8 over there, $8. So I flew in from Calgary. My flight got delayed. I got in about 1:30. It's about an hour and a half drive home. So that's 3 o'clock. I got up at 7:30 and started driving up here. I was so tired. Unbelievable. But I got a call from the Baileys. They're very kind. Mike Bailey is a dear friend. Nobody else likes him, but I do. And we have a kind of a hockey affinity kind of thing. And so he says, hey, why don't you come for supper? I said, I would love to. Folks, how many of you have ever been to the Bailey's place? Yeah, any of you ever been out there? We like to call it Duck Dynasty. If you've never been out there, you need to go. They have, was it 15 ducks? Yeah, 15 ducks out there? Who has 15 ducks? The Baileys. I say, you going to eat these things? Oh, no. Oh, no. The duck whisperer, Josiah. He's out there talking to these little ducks. They're all coming around them. It was kind of freaky, actually, to be honest with you. Kind of weird. Kid's kind of weird. You know, I don't know. Ducks. I mean, I had a dog. I've had a cat. Hamster. Never had a duck. So I don't know. So if you need a duck, there's your duck people right there. And then we had supper last night. It was awesome. All right, take your Bibles. Turn to... Oh, you want to hear more, you say, Pastor? You want to hear more? Yeah. I promised I wouldn't. But I'm not a man of my word, so let me tell you about it. Amber says, come on, I got supper ready. Great, I'm starving. I haven't eaten all day. I had to stop and had something at the border and drove up, you know, and stopped at to get coffee. Where's the last place to get Tim Hortons here? Gaylord. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Closed. What's up with that? Tim Hortons open 24 hours, 7 days a week, 364 days a year in Canada. You come here at 3 o'clock and you can't get a coffee. This place needs help. Captain Canada's here to help you. I'm going to take that home. So get out there, and she says, I got supper ready. Sit down, get ready. And she goes over, and she had cooked in this, she called it a magic pot. Now, I'm not one to use pot, but apparently she does. And magic pot. And she goes, uh-oh, I'm feeling a little nervous about this. And she opens the thing. She goes, it's not cooked. She goes, it's pulled pork. She goes, I don't want to feed you bad pulled pork. I said, no, please. I got a week of camp. Don't do that. So she made amends, and she made a delicious chicken dinner. I think in Canada we call them McNuggets, but it was awesome. Did a great job. She said, we're not using this at camp, this magic pot thing. We're not using that at camp. I said, whew, praise the Lord. Good. So But no, it was delicious. I've teased, but it was good. The hospitality was unbelievable. Great to be back. I love you folks. I love coming here. I feel so at home here. I'm as wacko as you people, so it really works out well. And it is refreshing to see a church filled up on Sunday morning with families that love the Lord, and I'm glad that you're still going forward in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians this morning. 2 Corinthians. This morning in the Sunday School Hour, we talked about revival by a defined Christian life. And I want to continue that on for you. I said that I think most of us have said at some point or thought sometime, we need revival. We need revival. Now, we're close enough neighbors, and you're probably as close as most of my neighbors that I've got in the United States. You would understand when I say this that Canada is in desperate need of revival. Amen. We're in trouble. We're in serious trouble. Not only are we in trouble politically, we're in big trouble spiritually. Now listen to this. This is sad for me to say, and I'm trying to garnish some help, but Pastor, in all of Canada, there are 304 independent Baptist churches. In the entire nation of Canada, 38 million people, 304 independent Baptist churches. The average size of those churches is between 60 and 70 people. We have 30 churches right now that do not have a pastor. And we have less than 40 young men total through the whole nation that are going to Bible college anywhere in Canada or the United States, less than 40. We have between 150 and 180 men our age that are set to retire in the next 5, 10, 15 years. So that's 150 churches, 30 that don't have a pastor now, and less than 40 young men who surrendered to the ministry. We know that probably half of those guys will not go into the pastorate, and of those other 10 guys, 5 of them will really struggle. Our nation is in serious trouble. Could I tell you that our good neighbors, America, are not so far behind? We need churches like this in America. Amen. Strong, Bible-believing churches that hold to the principles of God's holy word and the doctrine of God's holy word. We need revival. And I said this in the Sunday School Hour, and I'll repeat it because it's so important. Most of us would say, yes, we need revival. Our countries have changed so much in the last 50 years. I will say this, and for the record, that 50 years ago when I was a kid, if you were a homosexual, you went to jail. It was against the law in our countries. Not today. It's held up on a pedestal. Every building, every business flaunts and displays and wants everybody to accept what was once a great sin. In our nations, it used to be a time during the prohibition years of the dirty 30s that alcohol was against the law and they were busting it up and pouring it down the drains. And today it has overcome our countries and alcoholism is a severe problem. Drugs. Oh my goodness. Drugs in our nations is out of control. There's not a community that is immune to it. And it seems the farther north you go, the worse it gets. You get into some of our indigenous peoples areas, or our native people areas of Canada, and it's overtaken those communities. In our town, we are overcome with it. Our nations are in trouble, and the only hope we have is for God to sweep across our nations with a revival. For Christians to get right with God, and that right with God brings an incredible soul-winning effort where the lost are then saved. Are we ready for that? I don't know. I have to tell you, by great Sunday morning attendances and much lower Sunday night attendances and a dismal Wednesday night attendance, I don't think so. I think by Christians who portray a great Christian life on Sunday morning, but change when they go to work Monday, and change again when they get on the sports field, and change again when they are alone, I don't think so. There's a cost to revival. There's a big cost. There's a time cost to revival. There were days when we would have week-long revival meetings. There were days when they had month-long revival meetings. I'm happy today if I can go to a church from Sunday to Wednesday for a revival meeting. And we have a lot of churches that are going to just Sunday morning attendance. How do you have revival when all you have is one service in 7 days? And so you see that there's a problem, but I do want revival. And I know this, that there are enough churches and there are enough people left in our nations that we could still have revival if those people would understand revival by a defined Christian life. Now, let me ask you this morning, are you a Christian? Yes. Well, let me ask you this. How would I know that you're a Christian? Amen. What identifies you as a Christian? Let me ask you this. If I went to your workplace and asked if you were a Christian, would they say yes? Let me ask if I went to your school, or I went to your social club, or I went to your sports team and said, hey, are they a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? Would they say, oh, yes, no question? Or would they have to think about it? Would they have to search? Or would they maybe say, well, they're a good person, and they go to church, but we don't know if they're a born-again Christian? Revival by a defined Christian life must be accompanied by a separation from sin. And I want to tell you today that many Christians are not separating themselves from sin anymore. We have a very weak Christianity today. We have very nominal Christianity. Some have said that it's 5 miles wide and a half inch deep. Not all the depth of the Christian life. I hope and pray, and I think this church is a little bit different, Pastor. You've got an unusual church. I believe that a bulk of people in this church really do want to live that defined Christian life. I am separated from the things of the world. I am absorbed with the things of Jesus Christ. I am the same today that I will be tomorrow, that I will be tonight, that I am in public, and that I am in private. I hope and pray that's you today. I really do. Because that's going to bring revival. For those who maybe would be on the edge of that, or some who would maybe just have misunderstanding of that, or some that would really want that but don't seem to know how to achieve that, let's look at this message this morning, a defined Christian life by a separation from sin. I'd love to see those first century birthing of churches. I'd like to see that. I'd like to go back to that 2,000 years ago and see when those disciples went out and gathered with those people in the synagogues and began to tell them about Jesus Christ, and they began to receive the news of Jesus Christ, and the church began to grow. I'd love to have been there in those times of Pentecost when they preached and 3,000 people were saved and baptized. Man, that'd be awesome. We know that there were probably closer to 5,000, maybe 10,000 people that were changed in Jerusalem, and that church immediately grew to astronomical proportion. And then came the tribulation and came the hard times upon the church, and they began to spread throughout the world. And a few would gather here and a few would gather there. The disciples, the apostles would come and preach, gather people together, and great things took place. I'd love to see it spread across the globe like a wildfire, where the disciples were said that they changed the world. They turned the world upside down. How come today, with all that we have, with the technology, with television and radio and FaceTime and Zoom and all that we've got, we're not turning the world upside down? Those guys had only the spoken word and turned the world upside down. Do you know why I think that happened? I think because those disciples, those apostles, had a separation from sin. I believe those men had gone through that time. They had weathered that storm in the early years of their Christianity and now got very serious and realized our lives is the gospel. Our life is turning this world upside down. And many of us today do not have that same mind. Our mind is, we just want to make it in this world. Our mind is, we want to make it really well in this world. Our mind is, we want to come out of this world as unscathed as we can. But that should not be our mindset. Our mindset should be, we want to live and serve and preach and move with God. Amen. How do we do that? How do I, as a preacher today, get you to do that? Well, I'll tell you, I can't. It has to be a movement of the Holy Spirit of God. And we heard about that in our first hour. If you don't have the Holy Spirit connection today, you're not going to see what I'm going to give you. If you're not in tune with what that Holy Spirit can do and wants to do in your life, you're not going to get what I'm going to give you today. So my prayer is this. My prayer is that Holy Spirit who lives within us and moves amongst us today, Holy Spirit of God, capture us right now. Yes. Get us right now. If not in the past week or two or month or year, would you now today, Holy Spirit of God, allow us to see you move amongst us like we've not seen for a very long time. The Greeks struggled with letting go of their centuries of false worship. I would say this, that what's in our world today is this. When I was a kid, 5 years ago, I'll be 59 in August, so 55 years ago, 4 or 5 year old kid. When I was a kid, I went to school and we heard about Jesus. We heard about the Bible. We had teachers that would set it on the desk. We had the Lord's Prayer in our school every morning. It was freely talked about. I got school papers that came home that had a church on it and a family praying on it. And that was a public school. 50 years now, and we've had 50 years of evolution and 50 years of there is no God and 50 years of God's not coming in this school and 50 years of God's not going to be in our publicly represented places and 50 years of let's disgrace the church on TV and let's make Christians look like idiots. And here we are. And now we have to go to a world and say, we want to tell you about Jesus. And they say, who's that?
That's right.
Or they say, we won't believe. And we've got to overcome that. How do we do that? Well, I think the world has to see a difference in us. They've got to know why we want to follow Christ. Why would you devote your life to the things of Christ? And so the Greeks, they come and they say, yes, we want this. We want this new religion. We want this new faith. We want this Jesus that you speak of. But we've worshiped this way for so long, it's hard for us to give it up. And can I tell you that as people come into our churches today, receiving Christ as their Savior, they're having a hard time giving up the sin of their lives because they've been involved in it for so long. When I first started pastoring like you, the hardest thing that people had to give up was smoking and drinking. Now we have people coming saying, I've got to give up years of pornography. I've got to give up a lifetime of sexual deviance. I've got to give up a life that is filled with great corruption. And it takes a long time. And most people aren't willing to take the time or the effort to change those things. So if we're going to see revival, we've got to somehow be released from the sin of our lives that we enjoyed, that we partook of, and take on the things of Jesus Christ in such a manner that we are consumed with it. A worship of myriad of gods took place in Greek, invented and promoted as the gods. Then comes Paul and introduces them to the one God they did not know. And it seems revival breaks out and souls are converted. And those Corinthian converts went on for God, but they struggle with letting go of their old worship style. Our text is Paul addressing that problem. And folks, 2022 years later, there is the same struggle going on in many people's lives today in our countries. Would you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11? We'll read through to chapter 7, verse 1. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Paul's saying, I love you. You are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, but ye also, and be ye also enlarged. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Paul, in a plea of deep love, says to the Corinthians, I love you unconditionally, but you do not love me the same. He said, you are not straitened in me. You don't have that relationship with me. He said, you have been straitened in your own bowels. Now, that's an unusual term. When we think of bowels, we don't think of the same thing as they did in the Bible. All right? We think of the digestive tract, you know. That's an ugly thing. But in Bible time, that was the same as saying, I love you with all my heart. Now, the heart's an organ. It's inside the body. We don't think of that pulsating, blood-pumping heart. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the inner core. I love you with all my heart. I love you with all my being. I love you with everything that I am. And Paul was saying, when he said, I love you with my bowels, that's what he's saying, the inner core of my life. He said, and I love you with all my heart. And here's what he said, you don't love me the same way. He said, now I'm going to speak to you as my children. And I'm going to tell you, you need to love me the same way. And why is he saying that? It's the same thing as when your dad used to say to you, now, this is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me, right? And then he'd fire you up. As a kid, I thought, well, let's try it the other way. Let me have a whack at it. No, he said, this is going to hurt you. And I'm telling you, you need to straighten up. My dad used to say, you need to straighten up. And he gave me that discipline. Paul says, I'm going to give you a licking. I'm going to give you a spanking. I'm going to get after you here because you're not right. And I want you to know I love you, and I want you to love me in the same way. Because I love you, here's the warning I give to you. And he says this, number one, be not unequally yoked. Be not unequally yoked. That's not a term that we understand because most of us have not seen or used a yoke. It's a harness for horses and mules and oxen. It's a pulling device. It's used to allow two animals to pull together rather than separately. Be not unequally yoked. Let me demonstrate for you. I'm going to get one of these guys to help me here. Would you help me this morning? Stand up here for a minute. If we were going to yoke something together, you don't want to put a great big strong animal with a little tiny wimpy animal. No. Because you're going to link them together. Put your arm around. Put your arm up over my shoulder. Can you reach that high? Very good. Excellent. Okay. So if we're going to pull together, the problem is I'm stronger, I'm bigger, right? So I'm going to naturally want to pull my way. You pull that way. No, pull. No, really, really pull. No, like really pull. This isn't fair. This isn't going to work. We need two guys the same size. Stand up here, would you? You can have a seat. Thank you. We're a little closer in size. Put your arm over my shoulder. There we go. Okay, ready? Here we go. Pull. Pull. Okay. Okay. Okay, that's a little better. That's a little better. All right. Okay, stop. Whew. How old are you, son?
10.
Yeah, right. Okay. That kid's 18 and you know it. You're a big boy. When you put those animals together, you want them to pull together. Because that way they pull in a straight line. They can work together. That one pulling harder, he's going to exhaust the other one. Paul said, don't be unequally yoked. You need to be yoked together with people that are the same as you, that have the same direction as you, and that will work better. When we use and allow or participate sins to take hold of us in this body, we sin. We sin. And when we allow people to come into our lives to influence us away from the things of God, it causes us often, because they're stronger, to sin. Don't be tied to them, Paul says. Don't allow them to pull harder than you do. Be as strong or stronger than they are spiritually, and don't be pulled into their carnality. You need to be the stronger. You need to be the one that's growing. You need to be the one that is closer to me. Don't get yourself paired up with people that are going to pull you away from the things of God. Now, that's a very easy lesson. We've heard that. But you know what? How many of us are really doing that? How many of us are allowing through the eye gate, through the ear gate, a pulling of our lives away from the things of God? Let me ask you, what did you listen to this week? What podcast did you listen to? Were they ones that encouraged you to become stronger in the things of Jesus Christ, or stronger in economics, or stronger in how to cook, or whatever? What did you watch on that television this week? Was it something that pulled you closer to the things of Jesus Christ? What did you put into your body this week? Did it make you stronger in the things of Jesus Christ? Can I tell you, Pastor, that there's an overwhelming movement within even Baptist circles of people drinking alcohol today? It's overwhelming. I can't believe it. I never dreamed as a kid that we'd ever have to preach in our churches that Christians shouldn't drink alcohol, but there are people that are doing it. It's just a social thing. I just want to socialize with an unsaved world, with a world that doesn't care for God. Come on. I want to socialize those that love God and want to serve God and want to grow in the things of God. Amen. And those things don't often mix. I've seen what drugs and alcohol do to people in my own family's life. Amen. Grandfather who died of alcoholism. I've seen what it does. I want nothing of that. I don't want my kids to have that. Amen. Drugs, there are Christians asking, can we use marijuana? You know, I'm kind of stressed out. I just want to relax. How about doing this? How about opening the Word of God and listening to some good Christian music and praying? How about that? That's what we need. But we have an age of Christianity, and a lot of our younger people, a lot of our younger Christians today are struggling with this. To live a separated life under the things of Christ is almost an anomaly today. Paul says this, number two, be the temple of God. Your body is the temple, the dwelling place and place of worship for the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, or know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have from God. Be the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit indwells you. He goes with you. He sees with you. He hears with you. He speaks with you. And when we use and allow or participate in sins that take hold of this body, we sin. And we not only break God's word, but we break God's heart. The Bible says, grieve not the Spirit of God. Amen. Every time we sin, do we not understand that we grieve the heart of God through that Holy Spirit of God that indwells us? Amen. How many of this week have broken the heart of God because we've broken the word of God? Christian. He tells them this, be totally separated. Come out from among them, be separate. Who's them? Be separate from them. Who's that? An unsaved world or a weaker Christian who's pulling you away from the things of Christ. Come out from among them. Be separated from them. Those who are not convicted by its overcoming power. Those without any remorse committing the foul sins of the flesh. Who are in this world, but not, we are in this world, but not to be of this world. Is that you today, Christian? Are you standing separate from the sins of this world? Or are you so blended in we can't tell who's who? He finally says to them, be constantly cleaning in chapter 7 of verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. When's the last time you had a good long bath from the filthiness of sin? When's the last time you scrubbed away the effects of sin in your life? When's the last time you said, that was the last time, I'm not doing that, I'm not watching that, I'm not listening to that, I'm not participating in that anymore? When's the last time? Here's what I see of Christianity today. We rub shoulders with the world. We envy them just a bit because they have what we cannot have or supposed to have. We dabble in it just a bit, just one glass, just one look, just one time. And pretty soon we are overwhelmed by that sin, embraced and discouraged and embarrassed. We shy away from naming and claiming the responsibility of that sin. And then we become callous to it and no longer convicted by it. And God then must say, I can no longer receive you. I can't have the same fellowship with you because you're not where you need to be. Paul said, I love you. In church, I would say to you today, I love you. Would you receive from me the same love, this warning? Be not unequally yoked. Be the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. Be totally separated and be constantly cleaning that Christian life. There may be some here today who have to come and say, listen, this thing, and this is rampant in our churches today, this thing of pornography, it's over in my life today. This thing of lying is over in my life today. I had a man tell me the other day, I'm a habitual liar. I've been a liar since I was in grade 7, the 7th grade. I'm a liar. I want to stop. Maybe you need to come and say, I'm sick of pride. I'm sick of lust in my life. I'm sick of coveting. I have to have what everybody else has. We've got to get rid of those things in our lives before we're going to see revival. Amen. We must. But we won't until you say, yeah. All right. Yes. Okay. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us now. I pray that you'd help us in these moments to come to get rid of sin in our lives. There are some here today who maybe need to come and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and begin that journey of living the Christian life. There may be some here today who've been saved a very long time, but sin has overcome them. It sneaks in on us. We allow just a little bit, and pretty soon we're so consumed we don't even see it. God, help us today before we go to this camp, before we take another step as a church, to be ready to receive of the Holy Spirit of God His empowering so that we can see revival. Or God help our countries, because they're not headed in the right direction. Help us, we pray.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.